Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Established Africa. I'm your host, Daniela Morgan, joined with
African Castro. What's up?
So today we have an exciting topic and I can't wait to chime in. Today we're talking about all things women. Who is a woman? Defining what a woman is and all the attributes that make a woman a woman. So, Castro.
Yes.
You're not a woman, but I'd love for you to chime in on what is a woman to you? What is your definition of a woman? You came from a woman, you were raised by a strong woman. So with all of these experiences, because despite the fact that you're a man, there's a huge part of you that's also been influenced by a strong woman. So what are some of those influences? What are some of those attributes?
Okay, I think first and foremost, I'll just forgive me not going with the Oxford definition. For me, a woman is a god. That's how I look at a woman.
God is a woman.
Yeah, God to me is a woman, like I said in our previous cast. You guys have multiple supernatural abilities that men don't have.
Multiplicated.
Yeah, you know, like a woman could be going through different phases, but she still delivers, especially a lot of strong women who have discovered their potential.
Yeah.
But for me, a woman will always be a god. If they feel like calling it a goddess, like the definition of English, whatever. But for me, a woman is a god. So we're going to start with that. Because even where the beauty, the definition of beauty is compared to a woman most of the time.
I mean, women give life.
Yeah, you never hear what you know. You could see a guy buy a car and hey, it's a beautiful car, but you can never hear, hey, that's a handsome car. You know what I mean? Nobody's ever gonna say the words handsome to shoes. Oh, that's a handsome shoe.
There's even like a,
that's
like
a handsome
some
makeup.
Feminine pronunciation to certain words.
Yeah,
and
you know?
It goes much deeper. It's because women actually are the embodiments of beauty, of strength, of resilience. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So for me personally, being a woman, I chimed in on some of my notes here because, you know, there's not just one thing that you can say about women. It's such a broad thing.
Yeah.
But for me, some of the things that stood out were just women are instruments of unlimited wonder. As you put, we're just multifaceted, you know?
Yeah.
And we are life givers, we're society shapers, you know? We are instrumental entrepreneurs as well. We make brilliant entrepreneurs as well. What else do we do? Yeah, the list goes on basically, but we all come from a woman, you know,
true.
We all came from a woman.
True.
So all that strength that's also within us has been derived from one, you know what I mean? You know, so that's what I was even going to ask you, just to chime in a little bit more. If you can isolate three things that could define an amazing woman, what would they be to you?
I think three things that define a great woman is first and foremost, honesty. You know, just the honesty, the sincerity that comes with them presenting themselves. Emotionally intelligent.
Okay.
For me, I really take that very highly.
Yeah.
And a teacher. I think with a woman's, like, for a teacher for me is like the way I got to understand. You know, I've been in business for how many years now? I think this is my ninth year. And you realize there are certain things. I had a professional accountant, so he managed the money that we used to generate for the company, but he never managed my personal income and how I spent my money.
Oh, really?
Until I got a woman, that's when I understood how to manage my money.
Oh, yeah?
Imagine. I'll give credit to my woman.
All right.
Until the day I got a woman, that's the day I discovered how to manage my money. But I never knew how to manage my money.
All right.
I just used to depend on an accountant.
Okay, so one of the strong
stuff.
So one of the strong suits is also just like financial intelligence as well.
Teachable, you know. I mean, a teacher teaches you. So I'm you know, I prefer women who teach men how to be men, because you even need a woman in your life as a man. That's what my dad said.
Oh yeah.
You need a woman in your life to learn and to remind you how to be a man. He learned that with a woman in his life.
I mean, I could see where that can come from.
You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I could see where I'm coming. Okay, I could see where you're coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
But now to just shift it off as well, there's a different perspective we also haven't touched, because as much as we're highlighting these amazing traits of a woman, it's also coming from a space of appreciation, but also a space of privilege, because to a lot of people in I think globally, actually, it's a universal issue. Being a woman can also be being a target, you know? Yeah. Being a woman can also be being a victim of inequality, domestic violence, you know? Being a secondary citizen. Being a woman can also be a tool of oppression, you know? And it can be just, your gender can also determine a lot about you, religiously, culturally, you know? Can definitely put you in positions of just like lack of privilege, you know, just dehumanizing parts of yourself in different parts of the world, you know, some archaic practices like, you know, FGM, the fact that some certain girls were not able to access education in the way that boys were, you know, child marriages, you know, there's still definitely some spaces and places where being a woman is considered even being a crime to some degree, you know. So we just want to take a moment to actually send love and light to all the women struggling right now, wherever you are. Just know, like, you know, God is with you, love and light, we are with you, tuka pamoja, you know? Yeah, and we also understand that with beauty and strength, there's also a lot of pain that comes with being a woman. And I'm sure you can chime in on that. This year has showed us, aside from police brutality, there's so many disadvantages that come with being a woman. Personally, for me, some of the disadvantages I've experienced, I think I can just maybe chime in on one thing that's relatable to people is in a workspace. Like, I did something as trivial as an attachment after I got my higher diploma at a media house. I won't say which one. I won't say which one, though we might get views, but I won't say which one.
You don't want to introduce the cancel culture to the podcast?
No, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. We don't move like that.
Okay.
But yes, so yeah, in certain like spaces such as those, I remember being an intern and I had another female colleague of mine, and we used to get just very basic chores to do. We would be told, go get the coffee. You know, go prep the notebooks, you know, go take pictures of the media personalities, all that stuff. But then now my male counterparts were always told, always given privilege and unlimited access to like the studios. They could like mess around with the mixers, they could always get like full access to all these spaces where even all these media personalities would come and would work and would dialogue together, and we would never really be in such spaces, you know? Like, they could even get audiences with some of these people, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, we're over here on the same basis, like, we have the same transcripts, we have the same credentials. I mean, what's missing aside from the obvious, you know? And then I just remember my supervisor, who was a woman, and I just want to note this, like, women should not be bringing down women. Like, we really cannot afford to be in spaces where we're bringing each other down. There is already such, we're already put in a pedestal by our male-dominated workplaces, you know, and where we're like always pinned against each other, you know, in different ways. So we might as well just support each other and really just try to form a singular unit, you know. I just want to emphasize, you know, women for women always. Anyway, so I asked my supervisor, like, yeah, we want to, you know, we want in, we want to dialogue with these media personalities, we want to ask questions, we want opportunities, you know. And then they're like, oh, you know, well, why don't you just talk nicely to the guy once, you know, just dress pretty one day, you know, just use your, and I quote, feminine charms. And, you know, I'm just going to pretend I don't know what that means. And it just sucks that we have to debase ourselves on that level, given the fact that we are already on the same playing field, you know? So that's one of the things I've had to struggle with. You're a businessman. I'm sure, despite being put in a point of privilege being a man, you've also seen some of your your fellow employers and stuff go through this kind of bias. So can you just chime in more on that from a guy's point of view? Like, acknowledge your privilege. Where do you have privilege in a workplace?
I think even before I speak on the privilege, because I have a lot of stories to share when it comes to the privilege part of things and how the society has been imbalanced for centuries. Not just, this thing didn't just start on the 20th century, you know?
Women have been oppressed.
The patriarchy system has been there since the 15th century, 14th, you know? And, you know, just to, there was this story I was reading the other day There's this lady known as Artemisia Gentileschi. I don't know whether you've ever heard of her.
No.
So let me tell you this story, man. You know, Artemisia Gentileschi was a lady who grew up in an artistic home. The father was an artist.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a painter. And back in the days, painters were very, very, like, think of this way. It's in the 17th century. There's no hip hop, there's no music, there's nothing.
Okay.
So the only space of
speaking,
creative outlet is painting.
Okay.
So those are the global stars.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And they're only them. So Artemisia grew up, she's from Spain.
Yeah.
Gentileschi. She grew up in Spain, and the father was a well-known artist.
Yeah.
So the father, when he noticed that the daughter is, you know, of age now, and he wants to introduce her to, you know, carry tradition on, you know, because they've been doing that.
Yeah.
You know, they, you know, if you're an artist, you want one of your sons or your, you know, children to carry on your tradition to what you know, you give to the world. So Artemisia ended up being brought to speak about painting, and she really loved it. She really loved it. And the dad decided, you know what, matter of fact, I want you to be a professional painter like me. So since the father, I guess he was busy, or he was traveling a lot, or he was, you know, just a busy guy in general, because he's a star, he decided to get another star who's globally known as well.
Okay.
And this guy was called Tassi. And Tassi, basically, he's a painter, he's a well-known painter, Tassi.
Yeah.
And Tassi ended up becoming Artemisia's teacher on painting. Tassi is a guy. So Artemisia, she's a lady that time. She's only age 17, actually. And at some point, Tassi ended up raping Artemisia.
Okay.
And when he raped her, he charmed her in bed, like, I'm gonna marry you. So she never spoke about it. So a year later, he was a narcissist. So a year later,
He assaulted her. And you know, back in the day, a woman's chastity was everything. You know?
Exactly.
You know, because unfortunately that construct is what defined whether a woman was pure or not, or whether she was valid enough.
Yeah.
Or even considered, what's the word? Just, how do you say, like, valid enough for, like, marriage or something?
Oh, the purity, I don't know. Like, you have to be a virgin or something like that. Yeah, so he broke Artemisia's virginity.
Yeah, but like not in an amicable manner.
Not in an amicable manner, not in an agreeable manner. Matter of fact,
she
Artemisia, matter of fact, Artemisia claims that he even went to an extent of using force.
Yeah, I mean, that is what assault is.
That's assault, right?
Obviously.
So,
not consensual.
Exactly. Yeah. So Artemisia became submissive to Tosi's story that I'm gonna marry you.
Because you'd be viewed, unfortunately, in society as being ruined already. Oh,
exactly. You'd be, exactly.
So you're not eligible for marriage.
You're not eligible for marriage, yes. So, Artemisia, a year later, this guy said, to hell with you. Mm-hmm. And he went, you know. And she went to the court. She went to fight for her rights.
Yeah.
And while she was fighting for her rights, Tassi was really, really having a lot of support, even including with the government, because Tassi is well known as an artist.
And he's a man.
It's a patriarchy system.
It's a patriarchy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
there's the privilege.
So there's the privilege already.
Yes.
And even, this is the worst part, Artemisia won the case, and Tassi was never jailed. And he wasn't jailed because Pope the First sided with him, and he said, Tassi, no matter what, Tassi is a great artist. We cannot jail this man. So, I know, I can already see you're being vexed by this stuff.
I mean, it's just more.
And they've justified, they went even for a test. Artemisia was found, like, she's not a virgin.
But and I love the angle you use where you just, you took it back to the like very like archaic times and how this kind of backward thinking is perpetuated till now. Because
exactly.
You'll see like our sexual assault and rape has always been used as a tool to oppress women.
It's
always been a tool used to dominate women, and still till today people always doubt the woman and side with the man instead of questioning, was she really assaulted? Why can't she question?
Why can't,
did he? No, instead of questioning, is she saying the truth? Why can't you question? Why would she lie? Why would she lie? So that's also another thing about defining a woman.
Unfortunately,
being oppressed for centuries, as Castro's clearly pointed out.
So Artemisia became very, very bitter with this whole situation. And she was like, you know what, I'm gonna be very cathartic with my paintings, and I'm gonna express what men are through my artworks.
Her outlet.
So Artemisia became the first feminist before there was a word feminist. She is the godmother of feminism.
And feminism isn't actually that old. I think it's about 44, 45 years. It's not.
Exactly.
It's not actually that old.
Yeah. And you can imagine, this is the 17th century when these things are happening.
Yeah.
17th century.
Yeah.
So patriarchy has always been part of us. And this disease, with all honesty, I can say it was brought about by religion. Religion played a very major part. Because if you can see the Pope siding with somebody who has been found guilty by the courts and is not going to the jail, and he's saying basically,
is it religion that made them? I don't think so. I think it's men. It's men made religion. So we can't.
And it's also men. Yeah, a lot of men have covered.
Because what came first?
Religion,
you know, it's not just something we found. You know, it's something that was constructed. You know, so I say man-made constructs that were always supposed to put men in privileged points.
Exactly.
And this is why women have had to fight for simple rights like voting.
Because
or,
of going through hell.
You know, rights like voting, rights over their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
What else? There's so much more we could talk about.
Exactly.
Just so much more we can talk about.
So,
but, you know.
And for me, that's where I define and I always say, you cannot always oppress a certain gender for a very long time.
Yeah,
and they don't have.
There's an uprising.
They don't have special powers. That's the reason as to why the whole world is against oppressing them.
I mean, you know, and it also shows
you know,
now, like now at this day and age, we spoke about this on the way here. Now, you know, women are not taking it anymore. Like women
are
not
taking it.
You know, now people are.
Yeah.
People are now taking over and taking control of their narrative. They're taking control over like the narrative of their bodies. They're taking control of equal pay, they're taking control of the fact that they can exercise their rights to vote.
Exactly.
And let's not even talk about like how disadvantaged women of color are. Let's start there. You know, we could if we start there, we're not gonna stop. So
yeah, this madness just keeps trickling.
Exactly.
You know, start with the patriarchy systems which were, you know, put there in the centuries ago.
Yeah.
Ended up into racism. It ended up in all.
So as you guys can see,
clusters of life.
Like now, this is just a domino effect of something that was already implemented a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
and now we're trying to overturn that. So people will label women as mad or crazy or too much, you know.
Yeah.
And I even like, well, maybe not too much now, but I remember years ago, even in school,
mm-hmm.
some of my peers would shy away from taking leadership positions because they would be viewed as bossy or,
exactly.
oh, that's more of a guy's thing, you know.
Yeah.
Or even in school, you'd be like, no, you can't do sports, you're a girl, you
mm-hmm.
should be good at science.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if I got an answer right and a guy didn't in science, you'd be like, wow, the girl got it right, you know. So it's, or like you play like a girl, you like, so there's just so many, like, very, very insulting undertones that come with that. You don't cry like a girl. Stop being a little girl. Stop being a little, you know.
Even how we address, even that's another thing that I'm learning. I'm learning nowadays because, you know, my woman, she's a feminist.
Yeah.
And whenever our son cries, I'm like, yo, you're not a girl. You're a boy.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh,
come on, man up. She's like, yo.
We don't do that here.
I know, it's okay. You've got to teach him how to be a man and stuff, but don't symbolize a woman in these kind of conversations that you are having.
Yeah, let's
you know what I mean?
Let's not like, take the human from the man. You know, let's not dehumanize.
Yeah.
Like men, you know, men should also be allowed, like I had mentioned on the first episode, to access their full like human being status, and that means to be emotional beings. It's like also how women are not allowed like to get mad. We always have to be kind, gentle, nurtured, well put together. I'm like, we're not conforming anymore because that formula doesn't work. This was all a norm that was created for us, an umbrella, like a blanket statement, you know, that, and we can't all fit it. We're not all the same.
You know, like the society, even the society in itself, that people think this patriarchy system doesn't affect men. It affects us so much because men are not allowed to be vulnerable.
Oh, but yeah, it might affect you guys, but people, but you guys profit over it as well. Like, if you think about it, like even with the narrative that's controlled, like there's, like think about all the mainstream media images that we consume on daily, you know, and that's why a lot of women will, okay, I'm not saying all women, but there's some women who will just start conforming to certain body types. Like, they'll start chronically exercising and dieting and obsessing over achieving a certain look that might not even be what you wanted for yourself ideally, you know? Mm-hmm. And who's behind that? The men. Remember in the early 90s, it was skinny, it was abs and all that. Now it's like thick, like big booties and everything, you know? So who is the biggest consumption of these images and of these content? It's men.
It's men.
So women are starting to take back the narrative, you know, they're allowing the roles to roll, they're allowing their hair to grow, it's our bodies.
It's a feminine era, like we even said in our last
And podcast. It's a great time to be a woman. It's a great time to be alive, you know?
Great time, and you have to be careful with your words. So back to your answer on this fact that, you know, working spaces, you know, having employees, of course I had a business that had a, you know, staff members before, and top managers, it was me, my partner, and you know, the HR and the accountant, and I realized we were all men. So that's when I decided to ask my partner, is there a way that we could find a space for a woman to become a HR and let the accountant not be the HR and the accountant at the same time? Yeah. Is there a way we could find that angle to be able to at least have one of the women in the top management? Because I feel like us being all the men here, it's biased whenever it comes to judgments.
And also just on the other aspects of HR, I just remembered something randomly. I just remembered how many cases the HR department got in my previous workspace where women were being sexually harassed, you know?
Damn.
And where women wanted to like level up, you know, wow, or get like raises or get promotions, and then they would be harassed or they would be like endorsed into trying to do sexual favors to reach that. What's up with that?
I think that's something that has always been, because again, patriarchy system, it has been involved in the corporates and even in the music industry itself. You can see a lady like Megan Thee Stallion complaining the fact that there are not still enough females in the hip-hop scene.
I mean, look at her case with Tory Lanez.
Exactly. It's biased. Still, the society is now taking Tory's side.
People are still doubting her.
That she's been called a liar and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, I feel like all this will shed away the day we teach our young gentlemen, our young men, how to start respecting women and looking at them like goddesses, because we need to unlearn certain things that society taught
learning
us.
Is also about unlearning.
Unlearning, it's true.
Learning,
it's so
is
true.
About unlearning.
It's so true.
And even coming from my own POV, personal point of view, I was raised by a matriarch, like women only. Like even my dog is a shorty. Like it's just all girls in that house. So you know.
I know.
Hey, so you know the tensions are heightened. But aside from the negatives, there's also a lot of positives of being raised by. Now the matriarch of the family would be my grandmother, who I was talking to today. We were watching the presidential elections, and I asked her, because she was one of the first female entrepreneurs to actually emerge in the, I think it was the 70s, where she was the first tourism operator, like one of the first female tourism operators in such a male-dominated area.
Okay.
And I remember this was by the time she had already ended her marriage, and she was just becoming a single mother and woman, and she's like, you know, I have to get my actually, I have to get something for myself. So instead she like divorced my grandfather, and then she got married to her profession and her business, and she perfected the art. She really did, you know. And then I just asked, what were some of the, you know, because this is like, there's a huge age gap, of course. So I was like, what was some of the differences then and now? And she's like, well, the fact that now that we can occupy spaces as women confidently without being looked at twice, because she's like, I was a tourism operator and I had a driver and I had like a chauffeur. I had all, these were all men. You know, my PA was a, so her PA was a man. And people were like, how is she doing this? And I'm just like, how am I not doing this? How are we not doing this?
So okay.
My grandmother was one of the women who definitely challenged the norms, and she's always been so pro independent. And I feel like that's a formula that works. I would definitely encourage all women now to go that route of always trying to get your own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So coming from that and seeing how my grandmother struggled, you know, and she just, we were lucky that my great grandfather was a feminist. So he believed in equal opportunity for his daughters and his sons. Huge Kikuyu clan. So with that said, now his daughters could also get education as well. He didn't believe in dowry, all that stuff. Didn't believe, because he's just like, I don't believe in really like selling my daughters over. So it's just like, nah, you get your own, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that, because you can clearly see that that's being passed on to our generation, and we're continuing, that legacy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what about you? What about your mom? Did she raise you in that manner with your sister?
I've always been the protector of females in so many aspects of life, even in businesses. We've had scenarios whereby, you know, we've gone, because I managed, when I was in managing, you know, in the managing business of, you know, show business, I'm working with beautiful women and women who have this certain type of glow that the society likes, and they look at them because they don't have to express themselves.
What do you mean by certain glow?
Okay.
I have an angle.
What
do you mean by setting loose society? Like,
okay.
I'm not trapping you. I just want you to say
I'm trying to use the right words here.
No,
I mean,
just say it as it is. Just be transparent. Because it's not like you're wrong.
Okay.
Because society does have a preference.
Okay.
So what would that preference be? Because there's an angle.
There's an angle to it. For me, I believe show business is all about selling your mindset and selling your looks as a person.
So what about the looks aspect? What would you think society deems as like, that's a preference?
You need to look
and
like,
okay, let's just narrow it down to Nairobi standards.
Nairobi standards.
Because you know, in showbiz.
And globally.
No, let's just isolate Nairobi.
Nairobi itself?
Yeah.
I think, of course, I mean,
I want you to say it, because I know what you're gonna
we sexualize females.
Objectify, but what is objectify?
We sexualize.
And if a certain woman walked into a room and all your business counterparts were like, yo, surely is like, she's good looking. What is deemable to, like, what's good looking in a Nairobi society? What's the preference that you've seen, especially working with a lot of like showbiz, like artists, etc.
I think the definition of, you know,
to them,
a lot of society, they tend to define a beautiful woman like, you know, you gotta have this collar, you know,
okay, so it's shape, like a pear-shaped figure,
a collar bottle shape. You gotta
there's
be
like a light skin preference as well, which is
colorism
terrible.
It's terrible.
The cousin of racism. You guys need to stop that.
We need to stop this colorism thing, by the
especially
way.
In an African nation.
In Nigeria, they're using cake soap until today to look light.
It's
and I'm seeing a lot of females doing it nowadays.
Even on the filters.
I see, everybody just wants
Western,
to look like.
Yeah, because unfortunately there's been that notion for a long time, like you know, the Muzungu ni Mungu notion. It's like, it's always been there, even like growing up. You'd always see like a lot of my guy friends preferred like light-skinned women, and that was just terrible, because it like really puts down our melanated sisters, and it also can even prevent them from getting even the same opportunities and treatment.
There was a time it was becoming a thing in the advertising world, but now it has changed. A lot of things have changed.
The narrative is slowly shifting,
and people are now accepting, you know, just I really thank the music scene for enhancing the fact that you gotta love yourself with the way you look like, because it was firstly,
it's the same industry that kind of ruined it, but now
thank God
the right pioneers are coming in and changing.
Let me just say this, I really want to thank the fact that Beyonce picked up.
Oh yes. And you know, Beyonce isn't necessarily dark skinned, but she's always,
she picked it up quickly.
Yeah,
you know, no, because she was called up, yeah, but she picked it up quickly and she started promoting, you know, you gotta love yourself, you gotta be,
you know, black is beautiful. Exactly. And she's always trying to push that narrative.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that there are women who can be of a certain skin tone and not use that to one up other women, you know, or have this sort of superiority complex. Yeah. And I feel like colorism is a huge issue in Nairobi. But that's actually for a different day.
Yeah.
But that was a great chiming in though. I wanted to now just slowly shift it into some of the perceptions and limitations that people have, like, of women. For instance, I've seen a lot of this happen here, but I've also seen it globally, and it's also, I've also experienced it. There's like a certain conservative issue with how people can dress here. Remember my Dress My Choice movement?
I remember it very well.
Do you remember that?
I remember
how that lady was stripped because she was dressed according to the guys there as provocative. So of course, like, apparently the reasonable thing for them to do at the time was completely to strip her down naked just because her skirt is like slightly above her. And it's like also, when did this notion come about where we get to police women's bodies like this to the point where, even for me, like, I'm a person who I dress however I want. I don't care what anyone thinks.
Okay.
But I do know that there's certain ways that women cannot dress in certain places.
Okay.
You know, because we'll be deemed unsafe. And I've never understood why there are certain men who think in such an animalistic way. Oh, she's dressed like this, I must have her. You know, these entanglements.
Entitlement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of men that have that, so I just want you to chime in. How do you deal with, I'm sure you've met men who have certain undertones like that where they feel entitled to certain women depending on how they dress.
Okay.
Or they treat certain women in a way based on how they dress.
Yeah.
And there's always been this notion, especially with Kenyan, the Kenyan law enforcement, where when women report assault cases, they're like, hey, but what are you wearing? So instead of us even talking about this, I would want you as a man, how do you, what advice do you, or how do you counter argue men with this mentality? Because sometimes we as women don't always get this narrative across men. But maybe from a guy's point of view, they'd be more susceptible to listening. So how would you, let's say I'm your guy friend and I believe in this.
I think,
how would you birth a better perspective to such men
on dress codes and how, because I believe the form of presentations determines how you want, even for some people it's I want to look good, but for some people is I want people to view me like this, you know, when you dress up, when you do the makeup stuff and all that stuff. Me personally, I dress up to my comfort. And I dress up knowing that what I'm dressing will get me respect.
Yeah.
That's it. You know? So we need to start teaching.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I know respect has different narratives of how
respect people despite how they dress.
Here's the thing though.
You know?
You cannot dress an underaged, you know, lady or a boy, you know. You cannot dress them down in certain places, like places of worship, places of, you know, whereby I cannot, if, let's say I had a daughter today.
What if she wants to go to town?
I wouldn't allow her to dress shorts.
But why? But is that the woman? Is that us dressing inappropriately? Or is that you looking at us inappropriately? Are we inappropriate, or is it you looking at us inappropriately? Who is the real villain here?
The villain
who's
is
the villain of the story.
It's both sides.
I don't think so.
It's both sides. You know what?
Is it both? Because
boy child is being raped nowadays a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of raping happening for boy child.
But you're deviating from what we're talking about. I'm talking about
dressing.
We're talking
right?
about women and conservative and how you usually have to dress rather conservative, because we know we are going to get, we might be walking targets, we might be assaulted at any time, but we are not responsible for how you react. We're not, we should not be burdened by your hormones, you know, and or your backwards mentality. We should be able to dress how we want and still get home safely despite it all.
Okay, here's the thing. What happens if you have barbecue, you made steak? I'm using this just as an example.
Okay.
I don't want it to be compared to anybody.
Definitely not.
I'm not compared. Just to be straightforward, this is not a comparison to anybody. I just want to be very selective with my words. I'm not comparing any woman with steak or whatever. But here's the thing, though. What happens if you have? You cannot. Okay. Can you? Okay. Let me put it this way. You cannot entertain a pack of wolves. With steak.
But you're not wolves. You, are human beings with cognitive
thoughts and function.
You're not animals.
We're not animals.
No, you're degrading your
nature. I'm not degrading any nature, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. You gotta understand, not all men are the same. We're not equal.
Some of them are animals.
There are people who are sexually active more than other men.
But that doesn't give them the right to
They don't give them the right, yes. They don't give them the right. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you dress in a certain way, whereby you walk in
like
a room,
like the proverbial stick.
If you dress, here's the thing.
I hope you all know I don't agree with that.
No. Here's the thing. If you dress in a certain way, what would happen if you walked here naked? We have how many men are here?
I would expect to walk out naked.
You still expect to walk out naked and still be okay?
Because you guys have cognitive, fully functional
Thank you.
Facts and thank control you. Over your bodies
over
and
our
your hormones.
And
you're insulting your intelligence when you say that if you dress a certain way or compare us to steaks, what do you expect? Like this is where
don't use the steak thing. Put it on the side. No, that's an example of the pack of wolves.
But I do understand.
You cannot entertain the pack of wolves with steak. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Listen to this.
Bro.
You walked in and walked out, and you still feel like it was normal for you to do that.
Yeah, totally.
But here's the thing.
Totally, absolutely.
According to us three men, I'm not going to act like this is fake. I'm just going to say scientifically proven. Scientifically proven.
That
if a man sees a naked woman, they're sexually aroused.
So any naked woman he sees. So what if it was his daughter?
No, here's the thing. Okay.
Because women, that falls.
You cannot walk on your daughter when she's naked. I mean, it's not allowed.
What if you were like a single dad?
No, here's the thing. No, when she's a baby, it's different. Because there's a way we view young children, and there's a way
because women fall into your mother women. And your sisters as well. So unfortunately, that shoe doesn't fit for everything. Like, I feel like. Just to wrap
all I'm saying is okay. Let me finalize on this. All I'm saying is, women need to be responsible with how they dress. Because remember, not everybody
because
that's
men are
out
responsible
there,
with their hormones.
Not everybody is out there who's reasonable enough. We have a sick society. Not everybody who's out there is thinking the same way I might think. Like yo, that's a lady. You need to respect her, despite how. She's
dressed. Exactly.
Not everybody is thinking like that.
Unfortunately,
not everybody.
That sounds like
the men who are looking at that as a bait. She's trying to get a man.
Yeah, but that's not normal.
Oh, she's trying to get into bed.
Yeah, but you see, such men.
Oh, she's trying to get into.
Yeah, but
you
such
know?
Men are like. Let's not normalize that. Okay, but just remember, there are sick individuals in society.
Mm.
Those sick individuals need to be reprimanded for their actions, because this is how we birth rapists and stalkers and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, serial killers that just target just women. You know, we need to not normalize these notions, which is why.
But the scriptures have been created online.
Yeah,
look at the movies.
Why we said
what happens in the movies? What happened in the movies when they see when a hot guy is walking in a scene and there are a bunch of ladies who are just like,
But this is what we're trying to say.
It portrays the society has already defined these things.
They've been glamorizing this. For this mass media has been doing this for time, which is what I had said earlier that we have to unlearn. All of this stuff. This is just now coming for me. This formula no longer works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But just to wrap up this heated debate, which was a good one, by the way. See, this is how you dialogue.
Okay.
We just have to raise our sons and just, you know, check your friends. You know, just speak up when necessary. Because sometimes it's not only just about belittling someone or just only just painting him as just a perpetrator. It's also about trying to educate as much as possible.
And let's be responsible.
We want to try coexist with each other,
yeah.
But also just remember not to normalize any sort of abusers,
mm.
you know, because that just doesn't work.
My thing is, let's be responsible, even on social media. You know how women are portraying themselves on social media?
It is fine.
It's a beautiful thing. I follow the pages that really make me, you know, like
but
the fact that people can be dressed up African culture wise, but you cannot portray yourself when you're naked on social media and expect that all reactions is gonna be positive.
But why? But
don't
why
expect
do the,
that.
But
don't put
do
yourself.
No.
Don't put yourself in a. Don't put yourself as a target and don't expect.
No, that's the wrong mentality. Because you guys crave the naked female body and these images constantly, but then you'll censor and shun it anytime it's portrayed to you by someone you know. It's not right. I understand what you're saying,
but
like, be
though?
Careful, be safe and stuff. But it's unfortunate we have to be safe in the same spaces as you guys are, because you guys are the main perpetrators who would attack us or shun us if we decide to portray, like, to embody our bodies the way we want to. They're ours. If you want to be naked, we can be naked. If you want to be, dressed as a slut, but it's our bodies. If you don't want to see it, don't look at it.
I unfollow you. I block you.
Don't
you know what I mean? Because those are the things that even my woman, when she sees I'm looking at, she'll be mad at me.
You know, instead
why
of
are you looking
women,
at that?
Instead of telling women, don't drink too much or don't dress like it. If you feel like you're about to assault someone, go home. You don't drink too much. You go home. You know what I mean? Like, you see, now these are the kind of archaic
mm-hmm.
mindsets that we need to stop perpetuating. That's what
okay.
I'm saying. If you feel like your boys
mm-hmm.
or your, you know, even your kids mm-hmm. are like starting to show such undertones, you need to check them before we start birthing bigger problems.
Big on that. And if you feel like you want to add something on this, kindly send us an email, establishedafrican@gmail.com. You can send us an email. If you feel like you want to jump on these conversations, your opinions, our social media.
Yeah, our social media is Established African. You can follow us, Daniela Morgan and African Castro.
Yeah.
And just to wrap this up, I just had a short reminder for women out there.
Tell us.
Like, dear women, if you can get a housekeeper, please get one. If you can get a cook, please do it. Always normalize easier ways to do things. Our womanhood should not be about suffering. Normalize luxury in your life. Women deserve a break, you know. Women deserve to have themselves taken care of for a change.
That's
so
real.
Put yourself first, love yourself first, women.
That's real.
You know, we are the pioneers, we are the backbone, we are everything. There is a bias and I stand strongly behind it. So yes, normalize luxury in your life and take care of yourselves. Till next time, guys.